top left is swell organ. Immediately here on the right, and just above you, is what we call the positive division. And over here, just above you, is the great organ. And then dotted around in different places of the organ, but mainly in the centre, is the pedal organ. And of course, you play the organ, pedal organ with your feet, and it has its own bank of stops. But some of the pipes live right over there. And some of them live right over there. So you've got a kind of 1950s surround sound. And the stops are in columns on the console. And each of the columns has a heading. And they are labelled swell, great, solo, positive, quiet, pedal, whatever those divisions of the organ are, according to the different locations around in the instrument. Now, organs are normally built vertically or perhaps backwards, but not laterally. So what you find in this organ is that you have a very extraordinary spatial effect. So I can demonstrate that pretty much straight away by playing a flute stop there and a flute stop which plays itself back from that side. So you can hear that if you were making music, you would be able to bounce one sound around from different places in the organ. And that's very much part of what we think of as very loosely as Baroque repertoire. So I did put a little piece of Handel which I found which might demonstrate that. I'll just play selected bits from it. So that sound from there, and this sound from this side. Where you've got one section of the orchestra as a group of soloists and the rest of the full orchestra. And that was part of that design ethos that Downes wanted to really rethink the way organ structures were built. And tonal architecture for an organ is a bit like designing a building, where you put blocks one on top of the other to make what we would call the massing of the building, the shape and the relationships of each of those sections of the organ. So organ tone builds in vertical columns, and I'll show you how that works. Each stop has a number on it, and the number represents the pitch. So here's a stop at 8-foot pitch. Here's one an octave lower, two octaves higher, an octave higher still, halfway house, somewhere in the gods, and the stratosphere. If I put all those together, you'll hear how this architectural column of sound builds. And each of the vertical columns of stops is built in that way. Now, between 1900 and 1940, organs weren't really built like that. The romantic organ, the high romantic organ, was built laterally with big, warm, fat sounds in the organ. So if you think of the difference between an orchestra playing Vivaldi with its bright and brilliant tone and an orchestra playing a slow movement by Mahler, just strings alone, like Mantovani and his thousand strings, that beautiful lateral spread of sound as opposed to vertical columns. This organ can actually do both, but this was the first instrument in this country to re-explore this idea of vertical columns of sound. And there's some real problems with that, problems which the 1950s audience found almost indigestible. And here's some of them. They weren't really used to what we call mutation sounds, Now, mutation sounds are the sounds that are not in octaves. They're the ones that are funny pitches, like that, or that, as opposed to. And now I'm playing the same note, because I'm getting three pitches. So if I do a complicated thing, I'll play bottom C, add a note, an octave above it, an octave above that, halfway have the fifth between the two, and then the third above it. I'm now doing that, but with one finger. Now then, that's all very well and good, but when I start to go up the scale, it starts to sound very odd. So that his music in the early 1930s was right at the cutting edge of the organ reform movement as it started in France. It didn't start here until 1954 with this organ. But if I do a bit of fake Messiaen, if I give you full pen mutation. But those were the sounds that Messiaen was using to evoke his musical spirituality. And what he did with the pedals was, instead of it playing the low notes, as I've just done, he got it to play the high notes. And the sounds that I've just played for you are what we call a cornet combination. So it's very odd here. But as you get to middle C, your ear can't hear the five notes anymore. It hears one new sound, because your ear hears the lowest common denominator. And all of those sounds together, because of the scale of the pipes, the size of the pipes, they're designed to blend together in such an extraordinary way that all of those five notes become one new note. Now, Maurice Ravel does this in Bolero. If you've ever looked at the orchestration very carefully, you'll see that towards the end of the work, he puts into the piccolo part what we call a tierce in organ building. He plays the tune a third above. And if you look at the score, it's an extraordinary compendium of how to write for the organ. It's kind of copying organ noises into orchestral tone. So when we hear it, we don't really hear it like that because Ravel's such a clever orchestrator. But in the 18th century, 17th century, and 18th century, these composite sounds were very much part and parcel of the organ music that was played at that time. So here's a voluntary, an English voluntary, for cornet. So if I did that an octave low, you'd hear what an odd sound it is. You can hear how it becomes Messiaen very quickly, don't you? But these were some of the sounds that Ralph Downes was trying to bring back into the organ. Sounds that have been completely lost from music making on the organ in the years from 1900. And there were other things that he sought. Now, Downes was on the periphery of what we call the early music movement, as vested in Arnold Doltmeschs. Now, Arnold Doltmeschs ran in Haslemere, a musical instrument making workshop. And what they did was they took images of angels playing viols or rebecks or crumhorns or various early musical instruments, and they looked in organ building treatises and musical instrument making books from the 15th, 16th, 17th centuries, and they started to remake how these instruments would be, and that has given rise ultimately to these early orchestras, these early music groups who now perform on copies of early musical instruments. And Downes was trying to capture some of that extraordinary set of sounds in this organ. So here are one or two of the sounds that he came up with. This is a chorus of shawms, medieval shawms.
Yeah,
Jones wrote about what he was going to do here, he had a very, very big letter bag from members of the public who didn't like even the idea of what he was trying to do, because composer Vaughan Williams was part of a committee that was put together with some of the leading figures of the day, Sir George Dyson, Benjamin Britten. Benjamin Britten was the only member of the organ committee who approved of what Downes was doing. The rest completely rejected it and said it was absolute nonsense, and this fellow Downes should be stopped without any further delay before he ruined what was going to be in the Royal Festival Hall. But the committee and the London County Council had faith in him, and he won through. He got Harrison and Harrison to build this very extraordinary instrument. And when it was unleashed to the public in 1954, the public went potty, either because they thought it was the best thing since sliced bread, and it allowed them, they thought, to hear Bach as it should originally have been played, which is a quite mistaken concept, of course, because it's in a modern concrete box. But other people didn't like it at all, because they were very unfamiliar with what we now call, loosely, this continental organ sound. So this very rich combination of sounds that we hear here. That was one thing they didn't like, and Vaughan Williams wrote a letter to the Times that said, if I want to hear a continental organ, I would go to the continent to hear it. We don't need one in London. And if I want Bach to be played, I will go and hear Dr. Harold Dark play it on the English organ of St. Michael's Church, Cornhill. That's how Bach should be played, not on a continental organ. And by the way, continental organs generally have a barrel organ monkey dancing on the top, which I think was a reference to Ralph Downes. So it was a very unpleasant set of exchanges. But Downes really won through with all of this. He designed this instrument, which got these great architectural columns of sound. And I'm just going to play you an extract of a piece by Bach to demonstrate this. And then hopefully we'll get one or two of you onto the instrument. I'm going to play you just an extract from a big chorale prelude by Bach, which is sort of inspired by what we call the Hamburg School of organ building. Now, Bach applied for the job of organist of St. Catherine's and St. Jacobi in Hamburg in 1720, and they turned him down. And actually, Hamburg has been trying to make up for that ever since. And they've just spent €3 million building an organ which would have been the organ that Bach might have played in 1720. So they're still on that track. And the Hamburg Organ School of building, as vested in the organ building work of Arp Schnittger, who built the Jacobi Kirk organ in 1693. These organs must have been like nothing else that you could have heard on earth. They must have been incredibly powerful, incredibly subtle all at the same time, but able to produce effects that the human would never have heard before. And Bach went to Hamburg from Thuringia because he wanted to be part of this scene. He walked over in his youth to see Buxtehude, who was the organist of the Marienkirche in Lübeck. But because he didn't fancy Buxtehude's daughter, who he would have had to marry if it were going to be part of the deal of working in Lübeck, he decided to go back to Thuringia and work there. But if I play you a little bit of this piece of music, you'll hear what Downes was trying to do to get the sounds of the Hamburg Organ School into this instrument with these great architectural columns of sound and thunderous sets of pedal reeds at every conceivable pitch, to play the tune. So this is a piece for Advent, from heaven above to earth I come. And so we've got this thunderous pedal tune, which will come from there, and it will also come from here. But it's surrounded by this fantastic architectural column of what we call mixture work. So if I can find the right button to press for my combinations. That's the one. I'll just play a section towards the end. So in this piece of music, the hymn tune is played so that it's loud and clear for the congregation to follow.
Thank you.
wasn't an organ in London that could have performed that music in this way, because what Bach and what Downes did was to reach back to the organs that Bach would have known and take little bits out of these recipes of European organ building to formulate an instrument that would have been capable of playing music with an element of authenticity about the sound. It was a search for this authenticity. So that was 1954. Into the 60s, then we had films about Elizabeth I, with, instead of having great romantic soundtracks, when Anne Boleyn manages to woo Henry VIII, instead of having the London Symphony Orchestra playing a piece of Walton in Henry V, say, they had rebecs and crumhorns and early musical instruments providing the music for the backdrop. And that was a new development which followed. And then subsequent to that in the 1970s, people realised that when these instruments were playing, they didn't play at modern pitch, they played at lower pitches. So since then, the organ now needs to be built at lower pitches to accommodate the early music movement. And of course, Bach would never have had an organ quite of this size. It would never have been powered by electro-pneumatic key action. So lots of things wrong with this kind of authentic idea. But nonetheless, all of these extraordinary sounds are all brought together, they're all garnered together like a giant soup, a European soup where all of these flavours are brought together. And Downes did some very extraordinary things, because we can also hear a recorder consort, some tiny little stops, some tiny little pipes upstairs, which you would be forgiven for mistaking as a recorder consort. Father Smith flutes. Now, Father Smith was an organ builder who came from Holland at the restoration of monarchy in 1660, or shortly thereafter, bringing a wave of continental ideas back into England. So we've got this extraordinary combination of garnering sounds together to create this very interesting set of sounds. And actually, the piece that I've just played, that Bach piece, there are not very many instruments even now in the country that could perform that kind of repertoire with that sort of authority. It's a sort of no-holds-barred kind of sound. And I just want to do one more megalomania thing before I get our organists onto the keys. When the organ was first put in, we only had one third of the organ over here. And that was pretty loud, and I'll play that to you in a moment. And lots of people have said to me, well, why does the organ need to be so big? And it's because when you've got a symphony orchestra playing there in front of you, if an orchestra was playing now, you would not believe the volume that they produce. It's astronomical. And in order to defeat an orchestra, which is, I say the megalomania thing, but sometimes orchestral composers write the organ part to completely dominate the orchestral sound. And I'll give you an example of that in a moment, but here, this is the first third that we had installed in 2007. You thought that was enough, but here's the next section that was added last year. Right down in the corner, that's why we'll go and see them. Four, beyond the range of human hearing, and sounds that are incredibly soft as well. So there are times in the orchestral repertoire where the organ has to play perhaps something like this, which is a sound effect that an orchestra really can't produce. The In Paradisum from Fauré's Requiem. So you can see that the organ needs to have the capability of blowing an orchestra off the stage when necessary, as prescribed by a composer, or it needs to play lower, or it needs to play higher, or it needs to produce effects somewhere in the middle that an orchestra can't quite produce. And that, the totality of that means that the instrument has to be very substantial.